Crisco's Radio Newspaper with Bernardine Flynn. Brought to you by Crisco, the pure all-vegetable shortening. It's digestible. And now, Bernardine Flynn.
Thank you, Durward, and hello, friends. In just a moment, Durward Kirby will bring us the latest world news. But first, let me tell you about a traffic accident that happened in Los Angeles. It wasn't a collision of two automobiles. No, there was only one car involved. But it had the complete misfortune of colliding with, of all things, an army tank, and a huge 16-ton tank at that. Offhand, it would seem like a rather uneven match, and it was. Here's the way the police tell the story in very short form. Estimated damage to automobile, $800. Estimated damage to tank, $2. And now, Durward, what's the latest world news?
Well, Bern, the air war is leading the list again today. Huge formations of American bombers blasted southern Germany this morning. Few details are available yet, but our Air Force headquarters describes the attack as very strong, and that usually means just what it says, a near-record attack. Last night, the British set a new bombing record, sending more than 1,000 four-engine bombers to dump well over 3,000 tons of explosives on German targets. It was the biggest raid of the war. The industrial city of Stuttgart received the heaviest end of the attack, 2,800 tons of bombs shattering its war plants and transportation facilities. 40 British bombers were lost, less than 4% of the total force participating. British planes based in Italy flew out over the Balkans during the night to attack the Bulgarian capital of Sofia. And on the ground in Italy, a savage battle is raging in the blackened ruins of Cassino. Allied forces are progressing slowly both in the town and in the hills outside. But fanatical bands of German gunners who crept back into the bomb-devastated town during the night are fighting back with everything available. There is also heavy fighting on the Anzio beachhead with our troops on the attack. In Russia, the Red Army is sweeping across the Bug River on a 60-mile front and has driven to within 28 miles of the Dnester River and the old Romanian border. To the south, other Russian forces have split the pocket where several German divisions are trapped and are mopping them up. Still other Soviet columns are closing in on the port of Nikolaev from three sides. In the diplomatic field, the latest development concerning Finland's precarious situation is a report that the Finns have not yet definitely rejected the newest Russian armistice offer. In Washington this morning, President Roosevelt put new pressure on the Finns to withdraw from their partnership with Germany. Mr. Roosevelt said, "I think I can speak for all Americans when I say that we sincerely hope Finland will now take the opportunity to disassociate herself from Germany." On the Pacific fighting fronts, American troops on Bougainville have smashed a heavy Japanese counterattack in 6 days of fierce close-quarters fighting in which at least 1,200 Japs were killed. And the Pacific air war roars on relentlessly. New attacks are reported on Wewak, Rabaul, Kavieng, and other points in the southwest, as well as 6 different enemy bases in the central Pacific. In England, by the way, there's a certain American regiment described as the scrappiest of all. It's commanded by a colonel from Texas. This officer devised a new insignia for his helmet, and it was quickly copied by everyone else in the outfit. The insignia is formed with 3 A's and an O with a line drawn through the middle. The colonel says, "That's my brand. Anything, anytime, anywhere, bar nothing." And that's the top of today's world news. Say, didn't I see you out on South Shore Drive yesterday afternoon, Bern?
Yes, Durward. I was on my way to a tea party.
Oh, well, did you collect any new recipes?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't. We got to talking about Crisco's pastry method and never did seem to get off the subject. Honestly, friends, you would have laughed. Everybody was telling about all the bad luck they'd ever had making pie crust. For instance, when special guests were coming for dinner.
And oh, the embarrassment of it when the pie for dessert had a tough and soggy crust.
That's it, exactly. Well, we could laugh yesterday because with Crisco and the pastry method, you don't have to worry about things like that anymore. But it wasn't funny when it used to happen. Have you tried this pastry method of Crisco's yet, friends? It's right on the Crisco label. And it's really wonderful. Every single time you make a pie, you can count on perfect results. A crust that's so tender and flaky that it's the best part of the pie. Success like that sounds almost too good to be true, doesn't it? But that's what's so amazing about this Crisco pastry method. Why, even if you're a beginner, you can turn out pie crusts that do you proud every time. Golden brown, tender, flaky as can be.
And digestible, too. Now, that's something else you can count on when pie crust is made with pure, all-vegetable Crisco.
Oh, my, yes. Why, Crisco pastry sets right with the whole family, the youngsters included.
Say, how about seeing what a really swell pie maker you can be?
Just try Crisco and the Crisco pastry method. Every one of your pies will be a hit. Every crust, tender and flaky.
Well, Vern, what's next?
Well, first, Durward, I'd like to tell a little story that proves again that every cloud has a silver lining. Gertrude Lawrence, the noted British actress, tells a story in the April issue of The Woman magazine. One day last summer, while Miss Lawrence was touring American Army camps on Cape Cod with her bookmobile, she met a corporal who seemed very sad indeed. In fact, he said he wanted a book to take his mind off his troubles. Well, he looked so downcast that Miss Lawrence started questioning him. And she soon found out that the young soldier was about to get a medical discharge from the Army. But, and this is what seemed to be troubling him most, his job at home had been filled by a young woman. He didn't want to see her lose her position. At the same time, he really needed his job back. "Don't worry, soldier," Miss Lawrence assured him. "Remember, every cloud has a silver lining." A few months passed, and one afternoon in New York, a young man and a young woman saw Miss Lawrence and stopped her. The actress had to look carefully before she recognized him as the unhappy soldier she'd seen on Cape Cod. His face was just covered with smiles now, and he looked proudly at the young woman who held his arm. "Miss Lawrence," he said, "I'd like you to meet my wife. She's the girl who had my job, and now I've got them both."
Well, his cloud certainly did have a silver lining. Say, Byrne, you know, every year along about March 15th, any number of income tax stories start popping up. And, of course, this year is no exception. I think one of the best comes from Milwaukee. Young man went to the tax collector's office yesterday, and he asked for an extension of time in which to pay his tax. Well, naturally, the collector wanted to know why. "Well, it's this way," the fellow said. "I sent my wife up here with $150 to pay our taxes, and, well, I haven't seen her since."
Oh, dear. Well, you know, aside from being income tax time, this is also springtime, and it's leap year. And all in all, it's having an effect on our War Department. Until last July, the girls serving in the WAC were allowed to marry, but they couldn't wear wedding gowns and veils unless the commanding officer gave permission. Well, that wasn't so bad, though, for not many of the officers refused permission. Then, in the middle of last summer, the War Department issued a strict order. From then on, WACs, Army nurses, and other uniformed women in the Army would wear only uniforms. So that meant getting married in uniform, too. Well, naturally, those Army girls who were planning to be married in the fall were disappointed when the new order was issued. But being good sports, they just sort of gritted their teeth and said, "Well, an order is an order. And if we get married, we'll be married in uniform." They didn't think much of the idea, though, because at the same time, spars, Marines, and Waves were permitted to pick out pretty clothes for their marriage ceremonies. And never a commanding officer said no. Then suddenly the Army relented. Maybe it's spring, maybe it's the fact that this is leap year. Anyway, a new order has come from the War Department. And today the WACs are free to choose a trousseau as traditionally satin and lacy as they want. In fact, even a WAC who's to be a bridesmaid can come out of uniform into a marriage mode of the moment if she wants to. All of which makes everybody concerned very happy. And now let me tell you the happy outcome of an adventure two young boys had in California not long ago. The boys lived in Bell Gardens, California. One was named Lawrence Sliger, and the other Lawrence Giovannone. And both were nicknamed Larry. Well, the boys were strolling through the countryside near the town one day, just meandering about, as young boys do. After a while, they reached the Rio Hondo River, which had recently overflowed its banks. And it was nice and cool and inviting. So the two Larrys took off their shoes and socks and went wading along the river's edge through the shallow pools left by the ebbing floodwaters. Oh, it was a wonderful feeling walking along, splashing through the water and feeling the wet sand ooze through their toes. Suddenly, one of the boys grabbed the other and exclaimed, "Look, look at that fish." And sure enough, there was a fish in one of the isolated pools of water. And what a fish it was. A nice, shiny trout over 2 feet long. Well, in a split second, both boys had lunged at the fish and caught him with their bare hands. "Boy, what a fine dinner he'll make," one of them said with enthusiasm. But no sooner had he said it when he remembered something about a fishing law which stated that trout were not to be caught out of season. "Say, what do you think we ought to do?" he asked his friend. "I don't know," replied the second Larry, and then he added, "Maybe we'd better ask Mr. Mahaffey." That was Joe Mahaffey he was thinking about, the local game warden. Well, that's what they did. When Mr. Mahaffey saw the fish and heard the boy's story of how they caught it, he became very official. He reared back a little bit, cleared his throat a couple of times, and then said in a dignified tone, "Boys, I can see no violation of the law here. It is pretty clear that you fellows were just rescuing this trout from a river which no longer had enough water for his navigation purposes. You may keep the fish." And they did. And broiled trout never tasted more delicious. And now, Durward, what's the latest on the home front?
Selective Service Director Hershey has sent a letter to all local draft boards asking them to increase the induction of fathers and to draft all men who are needlessly deferred in industry. General Hershey says those two steps must be taken in order to meet draft quotas on schedule.
Well, solving the manpower problem is one of the hardest jobs our leaders have, all right.
That's right, Byrne. And another tough job is to wipe out the black market. And today, the United States Secret Service has announced that it is going to get into the fight. Secret Service agents have teamed up with the OPA and are going to track down the gangsters who are counterfeiting gasoline ration stamps.
That's certainly good news.
Byrne, what would you think if you saw an auto racing down a dirt road in a rainstorm, splashing through puddles and raising clouds of dust?
I'd think I was dreaming.
Well, such a feat apparently is within the realm of possibility. A new chemical compound has been discovered, and it actually waterproofs dirt. It's called Stabenol, and reports say that airfields and dirt roads treated with it will not turn into mud after heavy rains.
Well, that sounds remarkable, Durward. That new chemical certainly ought to help win the war.
Yes, and here's a way that women can help. A Chicago salvage official suggests that those old love letters stored up in the attic should be unwrapped from their lavender and lace and turned into the waste paper drive. It's estimated that on an average, each woman has 5 such love letters, and 1,000 of them would weigh, on the average, 20 pounds. Now, Bernadine?
You know, these days everybody is so busy that sometimes you hardly have time to shop for a meal, let alone prepare one.
Well, Crisco's a blessing when you're caught in a tight spot like that.
That's just what I was going to say.
You bet.
In about 2 shakes, Crisco turns icebox dibs and dabs into a meal that tempts even the most finicky appetite. When you have a little leftover meat, does anything taste better than one of Crisco's meat hashes? It's so crusty and brown when it comes on the table. And taste good? Oh, just watch the family clean up their plates. And do you know you can count on everything you fry in Crisco being digestible? That's such a reassuring feeling when you have a family to cook for.
Oh, golly, Crisco fried foods set so light even the youngsters can enjoy them. You see, Crisco is digestible itself. Yes, it's pure and all vegetable. And just the finest quality shortening you can use, no matter what you cook. Remember that, won't you? With Crisco, everything you cook tastes better, and it's digestible.
And now, Durward, what's our last story?
It comes from CBS correspondent Charles Shaw. He reported from London today that the new German raids on England are giving the British another chance to show their sense of humor. He says one club displays this sign, and it says, "In case of an alert, business will continue as usual. In case of a direct hit, no drinks will be served." Well, friends, that's all for now. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of Crisco's Radio Newspaper.
Durward Kirby will bring you the latest world news.
Bernardine Flynn will give you the colorful human interest side of the news.
And we're both saying goodbye for Crisco. It's digestible.